God is good. Even though it's a small group of people, God loved us so much. God loved this church so much that he entrusted the message, the great message, to share to the world. Man, when I think about it, the king gave me a message. I feel privileged. Right? It's a privilege. A king, kings of kings, lords of lords, give you something that he didn't choose anyone. He chose you. He chose me to do this great work. And let's carry on this task. How do he choose you and I? How did he choose the disciples? This morning I want you to look at very text. The very text that Jesus said in the book of John chapter 15. John chapter 15, starting verse 13. John chapter 15, verse 13. Say, greater love has no one than this. This means greater love. This is greatest love. It's no important. Nothing is important. If everything you read about love, God says nothing as important as this. Greater love have no one than this, that to lay down one's life for his friend. That is the greatest love. You can argue with me, any kind of love, but this Jesus said the greatest love that someone willing to lay their life down for their friends. During World War II, when the United States engaged into the battle, they built a great ship, a ship called Dorchester, they named that. And this one will be moved toward Europe. They pick up over 900 soldiers on this ship. And they put four chaplains on the ship to help out. The four chaplains named Reverend George Fox from the Methodist ministers, Rabbi Alexander Grude, Reverend Clark Poland from a Dutch Reformed ministers, and Father Joseph Washington from Catholic priests. Four different chaplains to assist all these men. You know, when these men never travel overseas and fight in this battle. And so they fear, they worry, how I would do this. And so throughout the night, these chaplains go out and support these young men ready for the battle. Very young, 17, 18 years old. Well, they journey to Europe. The Dorchester is moving toward, fast as possible, toward Europe as they left New York. On the Atlantic Sea, as they travel toward Europe, they hit by two torpedoes from German U-boat. They got hit. And the boat started to sink. These chaplains helped all these men get their life jacket, put on every single one. The four chaplains also put in their life jacket. Get ready, go. Get people into the lifeboat. Get many people as safe as possible, because within half an hour, the ship going to sink down to the Atlantic Ocean. As people go by, soldiers go by rushing, at the chaplain give the lifeboat to every single one. And when they run out of life jacket, the chaplain took out the life jacket to give to the men. They pray for these men, and they're rushing them go to the lifeboat to be saved. In that dreadful day, more than 600 soldiers die, including the chaplain. For those people alive, they witness. If it wasn't for those chaplains, they wouldn't be alive. If it wasn't for the chaplain who prayed for them, encouraged them, keep them to have faith and hope, they wouldn't be here today. My friend, these chaplains that lay their life down for their brother, some of them they never know, only know by name, but they're willing to lay their life down. And that's what this morning I want to share with you. What does it mean when Jesus said the greatest love that no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friend? God said, we are not his servant. We are his friend. He called you and I are his friend. And he will do everything to lay down his life. You probably hear this many times already. What does it mean, lay down your life? Just lay down your life. This means you're willing to give up what you have. Everything, including your life for others. My friend, Jesus come to this world and he wanted to win this world back to him. How would he going to do this? It's the only way he can do that. He can figure out he have to express the greatest love ever happened on this universe. You know, to win your heart, he not just only give you a house or a car or a degree. He says it's got to be greater than that. The best way he could come up is he have to lay his life down for you and I. So he did just that. He tried to teach his disciple. Turn back with me in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And this is what to say about Peter. John chapter 13, verse 36 says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus said, I'm going to take off. I mean, can you imagine Peter having left everything he had? He left his career. He left his assets. He left his boat. He left his fishing gear. Even to sell them, he left everything in with minute to follow Jesus. For 3.5 years, he followed Jesus' footstep. He had no place to lay his head, no home to live, sometimes no food to eat. But he willing to follow Jesus every single step. And now Jesus, his master, say, you know what? I'm going to leave you. Is that a shock to Peter? It's a shock. What do you mean? I follow you. What do you mean you're going to leave me? And that's what Peter said. And Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now. Jesus say, where I'm going, you cannot follow me. The word now is very important. Jesus say, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now. What does that now mean? That means you can follow me later, but not now. Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now. But you shall follow me afterward. Peter will wonder, why? Where are you going? I mean, if you go in heaven, you can take me to heaven. If you go to another city, go to Rome, I will follow you. That's what Peter going to think about. But Jesus said, no, you don't understand. Where I'm going, you cannot follow me. Even though you try, you cannot follow me. Even though you want to, you cannot follow me. Now, Peter said, yo, if I forsook everything I have, why this time I cannot follow you? What's so hard to follow Jesus? You know what Jesus have in mind? Read with me here. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Now, is Peter honest when he answered this question? Yes. He will lay down his life for his master's sake. He will do everything to follow Jesus. He's willing to even to die for Jesus. If someone come there and going to kill Jesus, he's going to step in front of Jesus willing to die for Jesus. Peter is a man who gives his heart wholeheartedly. Jesus says softly to him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Now, after Peter said, yes, I will do it, and Jesus asked a very heart-disturbing question. Are you willing to do that? Are you sure? What Peter, you think Peter going to say? Yes. Peter said, whatever I say, I mean it. But Jesus asked him, are you sure? Are you sure that you're willing to lay your down for me? And Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me 3 times. Wow, that touches life. Because he knows Jesus knows the end from the beginning. He knew exactly what Peter was going through. But Peter at that time didn't understand. Now let me ask you. When Jesus said, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me," where's Jesus going to go? Where? He's going to die on the cross. That's where Jesus is heading. But Peter did not know that. Where that Jesus is going to go, Peter cannot follow. Now. But you will able to follow me. See, Jesus already poured the big picture about the disciple, about you and I. How are we going to lay our life for other people? When Peter saw that Jesus crucified, his heart was breaking. He lost hope. But he remembered God say this, "You cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward." When Jesus resurrected, give the gospel to the disciples, especially to Peter, Peter took the gospel and go spread out all over the city. Then he understand, yes, he could not lay his life down for Jesus at the cross, but he will lay his life down later for other people. That's right. Peter went out and preached. And you know the rest of the story, that he was captured and people tried to crucify him. But when he was about crucified, he said, "Don't crucify me just like my master. Crucify me upside down, because I'm not worth to be crucified just like my master." Peter understood the picture. The questions come to you and I right now. Do we understand the picture? He tried to teach us a lesson right here. What is the greatest love for you to your friend? What is the greatest love for you for those unbelievers? Jesus said, "Are you willing to lay your life down for me?" And that's a shocking thing for you and I. I don't think Jesus mean to just leave your job and die and do for the sake of laying your life down for other people. What Jesus is trying to say is, are you put other people before you? Do you see other people need more important than your need? Do you see other people is worth your time, your effort, your energy, your money to save their life? That's what Jesus means. Because the goal of Jesus is trying to save every single person on this earth. He could do that, but he give us a challenge. He give an opportunity to help other people to see Jesus. And some people say, "Well, Pastor Vin, why do you spend all the time and energy and money go to somewhere in the East Coast try to start a church?" I say, God have laid his life down for me. I need to do the same. But you know what? God will never leave us alone. He will always be with us. He said, "I will be with you until the end of time." He's not going to forsake us. Now, if we think that we sacrifice a lot, look at Jesus, how much he sacrificed for us. I don't think I ever sacrificed enough. How much do we sacrifice for him? This is a small example I share with you. As I travel to East Coast, I say I'm going to stay in there for 10, 11 days. I say, you know, I don't have much money to spend. I need to use my money wisely. Well, I brought $100 with me. And I think this $200 should be enough. You know, I should be very careful how to use that $100. When I visit Hafung, one of the lay leaders, to take care of the group in Greensboro. He drove 50 miles away every Friday after his work to pick up a family, come to his home, to stay at his home in the Sabbath, and after the Sabbath afternoon, he took the family back. Cost him more than $50 in gasoline every single Sabbath. Not only he take people to church, His wife drive another car, take people to church. His son drive another car, take people to church. When I see this family sacrifice, I say, praise God. As I leave on Monday, I say, you know what? They're not that wealthy. They sacrifice everything they have. He go to work from 5 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. After that, he drove around the city, see people. He helped people from translation, help people get food stamps, all the and give Bible study late at night and come home. Every single day. Every single day. The best I can do is just leave the $100 in my pocket to this family. I said, Scott, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do the next couple of days. I don't know what to do if I'm going to leave all what I have. I mean, in my pocket's only $100 plus a few more dollar bill. And so, you know what? I see this man sacrifice, and God, you bless me so much. I'm going to give what I have, and I'm going to trust in you. And I don't think about it anymore. You know, it's hard when you make a decision, right? After you make a decision, it's gone. You don't even think about it. And so I go out and start witnessing, try to be very careful what I eat, you know, and go into D.C., and the best of cheapest food you can get is probably Subway, you know. You know, a foot-long Subway, one for lunch, one for dinner, you know, half for lunch, half for dinner. I mean, you got to save every dollar you have. And I went off to visit the lady in Lancaster. And I visit her, a poor family. She go out witnessing. She go every single city. And she put, to give me fruit, and I really love the fruit that I'm missing fruit, and I bring home. And she put in the fruit basket an envelope. And went home, I opened, and I saw $150 bill. $100 and $50. I said, it's God blessing. And that example has happened over and over again. You sacrifice, God will bless you even more than you sacrifice. Did I tell you about the car, my car? You told? I have an old car, Toyota Camry. And I say, you know what? I want to fix this transmission because it costs so much money. I'm going to sell. I can earn, get $1,000 out of it. And so I say, I'm going to get $1,000 and deposit to buy another car. And I see a man from this church. His car is worse than my car. I mean, bums all over it, and the paint go off, and the car is almost 300,000 miles. And I feel, gee, I'm going to give him this car. I don't care about $1,000. And so I give him the car, and I thought about it, yeah, I just lost $1,000. I mean, to me, $1,000 is a lot. And so I go out and look for another car and try to find some money and deposit. And I need this car, and I find a car. And Tony's mom, you know, showed me the newspaper. And we're able to look for a car on Friday. And Friday is a very day for busy for me. Friday is a day is preparation. And so Friday noon, she called me. There's a car on is it Burbank, somewhere right there. Key Toyota in Burbank, somewhere right there. And so you know what? I said, okay, I'm going to look at it. I'm going to call them and say, you know what? They only have one car left. And I called them, you still have it? Yeah, you have to come down. And I said, you know, Friday, I just can't do it. Is Sabbath coming? I can't do it. I wait for Sabbath. They say, Sabbath, right after Sabbath, sunset, I'm going down there. After sunset, the young people have activity here. And I said, you know, it's hard to leave. And I'm getting late. So I said, well, I do Sunday. Well, Sunday morning, I have a Vietnamese language school. So I cannot do Sunday. By the time noon we finish, go home and take my wife to go see the car. But by that time, 5 o'clock, I say, you know what? It's mine, not even a car. That we just drive there anyway. Guess what? I come there at 6 o'clock. The car's still there. They say, you know, I'm very surprised. This car, when Friday morning when it come out, people line up to get it. Because when they put on sale, it's under market price. And so the cheapest, this car, you know, Toyota Corolla, it's $16,000 plus tax. That's the cheapest. And I go there and find only $12,000. Could I get it? I asked, you know, you have to do a lot of people. You have to do finance. You have to find someone. I mean, they asked me, in order to get discount with this price, you have to have a degree. You just graduated in the last 2 years. I said, what? I mean, I didn't graduate the last 2 years. Who can have it? And I think about Tony. Hey, Tony, I know you just graduated less than 2 years. Can you help me? Well, I said, you know, he came home just for that weekend. surprisingly. And for him to find the degree, you know, it's almost impossible. He said he gave it to his mom. I don't know where his mom would put it. But anyway, before the shop, the car dealer closed, Tony Ava to rush over and give him the diploma and say, yes, you make it, then do it out. And so I saved $3,000. I look back, you know, I give away $1,000. God even give more than I give away. So my friend, you sacrifice nothing is better than God. So God asked you this morning, are you willing to sacrifice for Jesus? When you say sacrifice for Jesus, this is what he said. If you do to one another, you do it for me. If you do for your friend, if you do for your loved ones, or if you do anyone on the street, you have done it for Jesus. Mr. Richard Hogan, yesterday, a group of us go down to the funeral. As I look back in the last 3 years of his life, he did everything for everyone. Everyone. Where he could pick up a homeless to come to his home, which I couldn't do, he did that. He did just that. For someone who's in the motel, ask for help, he's right there. He called me up, Pastor. We got to go visit Jackie and her son because her husband just left him. He's out there, out on the street corner, do everything for everyone. My friend, that should be a role model. And Jesus also a role model for us. Let's lay down our priority, our life for someone else. Because that's the greatest sacrifice that we can make to bring someone to Jesus. The people might not see Jesus, but they will see your sacrifice and they will see Jesus within your life. Could you and I make that decision today? Could we do that for him? Shall we pray? Dear Lord, our God, sometimes we're so busy we don't think others who are in great need for you. May we lay our life down, lay our priority, our goal, that we can help other people. I know you can do great things through us. I ask you to touch every single people this morning. Touch us such a way that we're willing to sacrifice for you, to do whatever thing is take to win another soul for thy kingdom. Be with each one of us this morning and through eternity. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.